Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Wes Goldberg, Warriors writer for the Mercury News. And it's Monday, so we are opening up the mailbag here. I am currently sitting in my apartment in San Francisco, social distancing, self-quarantining as recommended to do. A lot has changed since the last time we've done one of these mailbags. A lot has changed since the last time we even did a podcast here. I mean, what was the last podcast? On Friday and over the weekend? It just seems like everything now is closed down. Bars, the gym. I mean, everything. I mean, those are really the only two places I go. Bars and gyms. But, yeah. Locked in my room here. My little studio apartment in the city. Just watching CNN. Recording pods. No basketball. I read a book. That was nice. Man, this is weird. Steph Curry tweeting that he's watching his own highlights. Man, I wish I had my own highlights to watch. I wish I had something interesting to watch. There's nothing on. I mean, I finished a couple of things, a couple series. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Not bad. Just running out of stuff, man. Anyway, this is why we're doing the mailbag. Got a bunch of questions. A lot of draft questions. A lot of off-season questions. The draft stuff is really interesting, and this is going to be a period of time now where we can kind of go back and start watching some of these highlights, some of this film on these top guys, and really start getting an idea. But I'm pretty sure I know where I think the Warriors ought to go if they can't trade out. I still think that the best option is to trade out. But let's just jump to this draft question right away. This one comes from Mongoloin, which I'm not sure if that's a Star Wars thing or not, but the question is, who will the Warriors draft? Look, I think there's three prospects now that have mostly been in the discussion for the number one pick. That's Georgia's Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman, who left the Memphis program early in the college season, and then LaMelo Ball. Those are sort of the three guys most often in the conversation for the number one overall pick. I would be really surprised if somebody else emerged at this point, because there's no basketball left to be played. There's no more scouting trips. There's no more international scouting trips. The March Madness has been canceled. So I think big boards, look, they're going to move. There's still going to be movement on a lot of big boards. But for the most part, I don't think that you're going to see anybody just rising quickly to the point where they're really going to be in the mix for the top pick. The only reason I think the Warriors wouldn't take one of those three guys if they were to land with it, let's say the Warriors get the top pick. Well, if the Warriors get any of those three picks, one of the top three picks, the only reason they wouldn't take one of those guys is if they trade out of that selection at this point. Now, that can change. There's a couple of guys that could still sneak into there if, say, the Warriors were picking at number three. I think that Denny Avdija, forward from Israel, he could potentially sneak in there. Isaac Okoro from Auburn is currently ranked number four by ESPN. I think Denny has a little bit more upside. If he's 19, a lot of length, really athletic kind of guy, good ball skills. Like, he could move up into the top three if a team doesn't want to draft. I mean, you know, if a team is bothered by some of the LaMelo Ball stuff, not really wanting a center like James Wiseman at all, I could see maybe him sneaking in. But if the Warriors end up with the top pick, I still think it's got to be Anthony Edwards. Look, there's not going to be a perfect pick in this draft. There's going to be a lot of homework needed, a lot of phone calls and things like that. If you're the Warriors scouting department now, obviously you're not going to be able to see these guys in person and anytime soon, if at all, before the draft. But you can still talk to people. I think one of the knocks on Anthony Edwards, and he's admitted this, is just his motor on a possession basis. Obviously, there's some inefficiency issues there. But for me, I look at a guy like Anthony Edwards, he fits the physical profile perfectly for an NBA player. I mean, he is just leaps and bounds better than anybody else at his position on a wing in this draft. The only guy comparable to him at any position at this point near the top of the draft is James Wiseman, just from a freak athleticism standpoint. But Anthony Edwards, he started playing basketball when he was like 16. And he's one of these like late bloomer guys. He can really take a hit. He can get to the rim. And in Georgia, he's been asked to play point guard, and he's not a point guard, okay? He is a wing to me. he reminds me a lot of Jaylen Brown when he was coming out of Cal. At Cal, he was asked to just be the guy. He was asked to be the entire offense, and his numbers were really inefficient. He had a lot of long twos, a lot of three-pointers that were ill-advised, but kind of had to happen because there was nobody else doing anything. And that sort of feels to me like what Anthony Edwards is doing. He's got some natural ability. He can pass with both hands. He can finish with both hands. Again, get with that freak athleticism, can just get out and transition, really push the pace. And the Warriors, that's the sort of thing that they want to do. And a lot of the knocks on Anthony Edwards are similar to the knocks that Andrew Wiggins had when he was traded to the Warriors. And if you could have Anthony Edwards as play more off the ball, I think you're going to see that efficiency stuff come back up. By the way, he is a 77% free throw shooter. That projects well. You know, a lot of times you use your free throw percentage to project to the NBA. You're shooting at the NBA level. I think that's competent enough. And I think that can only improve, you know, being in the NBA. So if you play him off the ball, then he's cutting a lot more, a lot of backdoor things. If Steph and Clay are spacing the floor, he's going to have a lot more space to do that, just like Andrew Wiggins will. And you're going to ask him to do a whole lot less, and then that on offense, which means he could be even better defensively. So I actually like him as a two-way prospect whose shooting does project a little bit. I have no doubt that he's going to be able to score. He's going to be able to get to the free throw line. And defensively, I think he could do a lot of things, and he could be a secondary ball handler for you, if not a primary ball handler. And so I actually like the Anthony Edwards thing a lot. To me, I would be worried if I drafted him into another situation. If he were drafted to the Knicks or the Cavaliers or some of these other teams like Minnesota that are near the top of the draft, Detroit, these other teams that could potentially are in the mix for the number one pick, I would have concerns drafting him to those teams. But if you draft him to Golden State where the infrastructure is in place for him to play off the ball and for them to, you know, shine up some of the other things, get him to play harder on a possession-to-possession basis, get him to be better defensively with the coaching that they have in place, I think he could be a really good player. So I'm pretty high on Anthony Edwards for the Warriors. The other guys in this mix, and let's just get to our next question here, Furman Winardi writes in, why are people underrating James Wiseman as a prospect? Well, number one, he hasn't played in a really long time, so people don't really know what he is. But also, I don't think it's an underrating of James Wiseman. I think it's an underrating, or it's not valuing the position James Wiseman plays. Okay? And I've seen the Joel Embiid comparisons with James Wiseman, and I don't love it. Like, physically, they are very similar. They run the floor really well. They both shoot the three, but they don't shoot it well. So don't get fooled by just the seven-footer shooting the three-pointer. It doesn't matter if it doesn't go in a whole lot. Okay? And so, and then there's motor issues. There's other issues. I think skill-wise, he's not nearly as close as Embiid. I mean, Embiid from a skill perspective. I mean, people, let's remember what Joel Embiid was compared to. We were talking, like, there was Hakeem Olajuwon comparisons when he was coming out of Kansas. Okay, the only reason he wasn't the number one overall pick for sure was because of the injuries. Okay, Wiseman's not even close. He's not even that stratosphere. People are just trying to make the lazy comparison, and you can talk yourself into that. So I don't love the Wiseman pick, and if you're the Warriors, I've said this before, I'll say it again. You don't want to pay what you're going to have to pay a top three pick at that center position. The Warriors have a bullpen approach at the center spot, okay? You can't have that bullpen approach if you're paying one of those centers $10 million a year. You just can't. That player has to be on the floor. In general, Golden State values versatility, they value perimeter players, and they need perimeter players, and that's why I think if the Warriors have the option of taking Anthony Edwards, if they have the number one pick, I like him as a selection. I actually have James Wiseman, if I'm the Warriors, pretty low on my board. I don't really see the need for him with the way Marquese Chriss has played this season, with Kevon Looney hopefully being healthy again, and the fact that you can go get a couple of other centers in free agency. I would and the fact that you want to play small probably at the end of some of these games, I would rather go get a wing who could play a few different positions and fill a few different needs for me as opposed to just grabbing this center who could or could not be a star, but overall doesn't really fit what you want to be doing. We'll get to another question about the rest of the NBA season next, but first, from an early morning breakfast burrito to a 12-pack of beers while you watch the game, sometimes you just need what you need delivered fast, and that's where Postmates comes in. If you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. I love food, and that's why I love using Postmates. They deliver food from every restaurant I could think of right to my door. But Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushi, they actually make life easier with grocery delivery and whatever I can think of delivery too. Convenience stores, clothing stores, you name it. So no more trips to the store, no more late night fast food runs, I don't even have to worry about where to grab lunch anymore. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within the hour. Guys, this is perfect in this post-apocalyptic world that we live in with the coronavirus. You don't want to go out and grab food. You want social distancing, right? Let Postmates take care of it. Order your Thai food, order your Indian food, get your pizza, whatever you need, just have them delivered to your door and stay inside. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 for free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use the code LOCKEDONNBA. That's easy. That's code LOCKEDONNBA for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days. You're going to use it all 7 days, guys. You can't go wrong with this. This is a no-brainer. Just download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Our next question comes from Chuckle8899 on Twitter, who writes in, what's the worst case scenario for the current NBA season? Well, this is kind of the worst case scenario. Look, Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that these guys are not expecting for the season to even start until mid to late June. Okay, and that to me is the worst case scenario. Now, after that, it's unclear whether or not that would involve a regular season restart of, you know, 17 games or however many games, or would they just go right to the playoffs? My guess is that they would just start the playoffs. There is not going to be a perfect solution to any of this stuff. And I've been saying that all along, even when people were talking about, wow, they should have had these contingency plans in place. How could you even think about playing games at all? Even, you know, no fans or fans, you know, you should have just canceled the season from the start. This is unprecedented. We've never seen anything like this in the history of anything. I mean, this is completely new and unprecedented. And so I don't blame anybody for a slow response or anything like that, or not really having a plan in place, because there's no plan to have had in place. All right? The Rudy Gobert thing was the first domino in all of this. And we're all sort of figuring it out. And the NBA right now is sort of figuring it out right now. And for them to push back 30 days and then now looking, you know, according to this report, maybe June at the earliest, that's substantial. And so there's going to be 3 months off for these guys potentially. And I think that what would happen is that they would just start at the playoffs. However things were seeded right now, they would just start in the playoffs. And I think there's a lot of things that could happen at that point. But the worst case scenario would be just not playing the playoffs at all. That this thing is completely spirals out of control in the country. Like, this coronavirus epidemic isn't controlled in a way that we can even really get basketball playing again, and that they have to cancel the season. And look, I wouldn't rule that out. I don't think a lot of people expect that to be the case right now, but I would not rule it out whatsoever. Because the days go by, this thing only gets worse, okay? This isn't getting better. I mean, a week ago, it seemed like maybe, like, the worst, like, a week ago, I was complaining about not being involved in locker rooms. You know, 3 days ago, we were talking about how weird it would be to play basketball games with no fans. All right, now we're talking about there's no basketball whatsoever. The Masters have been postponed. March Madness is gone. The Boston Marathon has been postponed. We don't even know if the Olympics are going to happen anymore. This only gets worse. And, you know, as I'm recording this, I'm getting the news from, you know, San Francisco County that I'm on borderline lockdown. Like, this thing is only getting worse. So it wouldn't shock me at all if the season were canceled. That would be the worst case scenario. I mean, the worst case scenario is this pandemic is not controlled in the country, and the last thing we're worried about is the basketball season. That is the worst case scenario. Not to go completely dark here, okay? But this is kind of what we're dealing with, right? This is it. All right, let's switch back to basketball. Why not? This question comes from Tallin Frosty, who writes in, if you had to guess what position the Warriors prioritize most this offseason, would it be a big or another forward/wing that would keep them finishing games with small lineups? Going back to the James Wiseman thing here, there's no doubt that the priority in this offseason is going to be add depth on the perimeter, specifically guys who can handle the ball a little bit and can defend multiple positions. That is what you're looking for. Can they space? And then, you know, obviously being able to space the floor enough where they're not a detriment to that end. And then for center, they are going to get a center. They're going to acquire a center this year. I just don't think that they're going to do it at the top of the draft. I don't think that they're going to do it with the $17 million trade exception, or at least not the full allotment of the $17 million trade exception. You could obviously use a portion of that if that's what it comes down to. I just don't think that they want to pay a player that much money whatsoever. You can go find your traditional seven-footer in places. You can go find those guys. You can acquire those guys somehow. You have trades, mid-level exceptions, just straight free agency, things like that. So that, to me, is what they'll do to address the center position. They're going to hope that Kevon Looney can be healthy. Marquise Chriss has got the inside track to being your starting center. Not a bad option there. I think you need one or two more guys. Obviously, you've got Alan Smalley-Geach there. He's still, I think, 2 years away. Not I think. I mean, the people I talk to in the Warriors, they believe that he's probably two to three years away from being a meaningful rotation player. And by the way, that would make him 21 years old, 22 years old. It's not a big deal. So I think that, like Anthony Edwards, like Andrew Wiggins, I think Andrew Wiggins was not the solution, but he was the start of the solution, right? You need more of that length, more of that athleticism, more of that versatility, more of that ball handling slash shot making ability, shot creating ability. You need more of that. I still think Glenn Robinson is an option for this team this summer with the mid-level exception. They're going to have the taxpayer mid-level exception. Could be around $6 million, depending on what happens with the salary cap. But that, to me, is what you need to do. You probably need to add two more of those kinds of guys this summer, plus a center. That is what they should be prioritizing. Final question comes up next. This question comes from NoCap757. Writes in, I really like Brandon Ingram. He reminds me of Kevin Durant. If you're New Orleans, would you take the 2021 Wolves pick and Andrew Wiggins for him? And if Ben Simmons becomes available this summer, do you think Bob Myers calls with a trade scenario? Let's address the first one first, Brandon Ingram. Everybody's been comparing him to Kevin Durant since he came out of Duke. Similar frame, elite shot maker, shot making ability. I don't think that the Pelicans would listen to the 2021 Wolves pick and Andrew Wiggins. Brandon Ingram is a bona fide 20-plus point-per-game scorer. He made his first All-Star game. He is right in line with Zion Williamson's window, championship window. He's a great complement to what Zion Williamson can do because he could score from almost everywhere on the floor and could play off of Zion in a way that makes his job so much easier, and in turn, he makes Zion's job a lot easier with the space he can create. And they could both handle the ball, obviously. So, David Griffin does. It would take a lot more to get him to come off of Brandon Ingram than Andrew Wiggins, who does not space the floor and is a little ball dominant and has not played well in that sort of offense without the spacing. And if Zion Williamson is your main player, he doesn't create space necessarily. You need guys who can create space around him. Andrew Wiggins is not that player. And the 2021 Wolves pick, like, that's a non-starter for New Orleans. They don't care about the pick. The pick would be nice, but they don't want to pay Andrew Wiggins that salary. That would not even get a conversation close. And I don't see Brandon Ingram within the Warriors' plans. I don't really see New Orleans planning to move off of him anytime soon because I just don't know what sort of value you can get back for him that would be better than what he provides with his fit with Zion. So as far as Ben Simmons, that all depends on what goes on in Philadelphia. Look, if the situation is untenable in Philadelphia to the point where Ben Simmons demands a trade or the Philadelphia 76ers decide that they prefer Embiid over Ben Simmons, which, by the way, people I talk to, not a guarantee that that would be the case. If they have to split them up, there will be a real conversation in that front office. Which one of these guys do we want? Do we want to build it around Ben Simmons, who is healthy, who there is a model out there for, who is a wing player, a ball handler that matters? Or do we want to build it around Joel Embiid, who we're not sure is all that healthy going forward? That's a real conversation that they would have to have if they get to that point. And I think we're closer to that point now than we were at the beginning of the season. That said, if Ben Simmons becomes available, or if Joel Embiid becomes available, it doesn't matter. But if Ben Simmons becomes available, Bob Myers would absolutely call. It's his job to do that. He would 100% call. He would have to call. Okay? It would be a breach of his job duties to not put a phone call in. You have to call. The question is, what would you be willing to offer? And if the Warriors, I think that you have to offer Andrew Wiggins in the pick. You have to add in that 2021 unprotected Wolves pick, or that lightly protected Wolves pick. That would be the start. That would be the same offer that was proposed here by NoCap757 for Brandon Ingram. I think Ben Simmons, it depends on who you talk to. A lot of people think Brandon Ingram has a higher ceiling than Ben Simmons at this point, but Ben Simmons is a good all-star caliber player. I don't, like, just based on what he's going to be making salary-wise, Wiggins would have to be the piece, not necessarily Draymond Green, who doesn't make enough. You could throw in other salaries to match. You could do Draymond Green and Kevon Looney and a couple other things to get there. Like, you could make it work. I don't think that the Warriors would want to part with Draymond Green. I almost think you would need a guy like Draymond Green to get the most out of Ben Simmons on your roster. So for me, I think the deal would be Wiggins. But it depends, man. Like, does Ben Simmons even want to play in Golden State? This is a clutch sports guy we're talking about, all right? This is LeBron. This is Anthony Davis type stuff. I mean, could clutch sports. If Ben Simmons says, you know what, I want out of Philadelphia, it's not working with Joel Embiid here, I want to go somewhere else and restart and win somewhere else, and I want to go to Golden State, if he says that to Clutch Sports, then can Clutch Sports then have the influence that they have been able to exercise over the rest of the league on the 76ers to force Ben Simmons to the Warriors? That would be the question. It would come down to not the Warriors or not to Ben Simmons, but down to Clutch Sports. That's how this works now. We saw it with Anthony Davis this last summer. That's how these things work. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Warriors. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Thanks for listening.